Well, if you were here Sunday morning, you heard Pastor Rob mention two things that King David was well known for. If you look at the screen, we all know the story of David, right? And one of the great things that he's known for is his battle with Goliath. That's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. He was a young boy. You all know the story. He came and destroyed this huge of a man, about 9 maybe plus feet tall. And his second thing that he's well known for is his sin with Bathsheba. We see that in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. Pastor Rob was mentioning this on Sunday. Unfortunately, his sin with Bathsheba, even though he was forgiven by the Lord, as we have seen on Sunday, and we'll see again on this Sunday, and we'll look at it a little bit here on this psalm, it had major, major consequences. David wrote two psalms after he was forgiven of his sin with Bathsheba, Psalm 51 and Psalm 32. David wrote Psalm 51 after the prophet Nathan came to him and revealed his sin against Uriah and against his sin with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. A sin that he had hidden for almost a whole year. And David had committed murder, deceit, you know, all kinds of sin that we'll look at it right now. But man, he tried to cover this for a long time, and the Lord sends Nathan. He says, you know what? I want you to go to this guy, and I want you to tell him a little story. We'll get into it in a little bit. But one of my favorite books that I love to read every once in a while, Disciplines of a Godly Man. Kent Hughes says this. Look at the screen. He says this. It was the breaking of the 10th commandment, coveting his neighbor's wife, that led David to commit adultery, thus breaking the 7th commandment. Then in order to steal his neighbor's wife, therefore breaking the 8th commandment, he committed murder and broke the 6th commandment. He broke the 9th commandment by bearing false witness against his brother. This all brought dishonor to his parents and thus broke the 5th commandment. In this way, he broke all 10 commandments that relate to loving his neighbor as oneself, commandment 5 through 10. And in doing so, he dishonored God as well, breaking in effect the first 4 commandments. And I like that because, you know, that's what David did. He literally broke all 10 commandments with this sin with Bathsheba. In Psalm 51 tells us how this sin that he had hidden for so long or for a while, you know, it affected his life, it affected his soul, it affected his spirit and his flesh. But Psalm 32 that we'll be looking at today describes how David felt after he was forgiven by God. In Psalm 51, verse 13, he promised to share what he had learned from that costly experience, from that mistake with Bathsheba. And this psalm, Psalm 32, is fulfillment of that promise. In Psalm 51, verse 13, look at the screen, it says this, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to who? To you." Now, look at the screen one more time. We're going to look at this psalm with 4 points or 4 observations. In verse 1 and 2, we're going to see the blessing of forgiven sin. In verse 3 and 5, the agony of sin and the liberation through confession. You know, haven't you ever felt like free when you confess your sin to the Lord? Verse 6 and 9, God's protection and instruction. Verse 10 and 11, the blessing of experiencing God's mercy and joy. So let's go over verse 1 and 2 again. And let's look at the first point, the blessing of forgiveness. Verse 1 and 2 says this, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." I love how David begins this psalm. David begins this psalm not with a list of his mistakes, not with a list of the consequences of his sin, but with some blessings. Some blessings. David launched into a song of praise to the Lord. In these verses, we see two beatitudes. The first beatitude pronounces a blessing on those whose transgressions have been forgiven. Can anyone say amen to that? The second beatitude, or the blessing, pronounces a blessing on those whom the Lord does not impute iniquity or for iniquity. Can anybody say amen to that? And David, what he's saying here, he's trying to explain the process of restoring our relationship, his relationship with the Lord after an unconfessed sin. David explains this process. He says, first confess your sin and the Lord's going to forgive you. And then God sees you as you have never, ever sinned. Isn't that wonderful? We serve a beautiful, loving Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. You know, I'm excited about how much the Lord has forgiven me. I don't know how much you're excited as far as how much the Lord has forgiven you. I don't know your life, you know, but I'm sure we can sit here all day and we can hear stories of how much the Lord has forgiven us. Keep in mind, when David wrote this psalm, time had passed after his sin with Bathsheba, but having entered into a freedom of forgiveness, David could not wait to shout out, to announce how he felt confessing this sin. And that's how we feel, amen? That's how we feel when we confess our sin to the Lord. You know, we feel free. We feel free of just being liberated from that burden of that sin that we're going to look at in a little bit. Oh, church family, if you have not experienced God's forgiveness in your life, if you have not experienced that joy, that liberty of God's forgiveness in your life, then you're missing out. You are missing out. I'm reminded of the sinful woman that the Lord forgave in chapter 7 of the Gospel of Luke. I don't have it on the screen, but by faith, believe what I'm telling you, okay? So this sinful woman comes to the Lord. This Pharisee invites the Lord Jesus to his house for a meal. And when Jesus is there, this woman hears that he's there. And this woman comes to the house, and this woman brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. And while the Lord sat on the table and he ate, she came to him while he sat at the table and stood at his feet and began to weep. She just came in, saw where he was at, knelt down at his feet, and she began to weep. And scripture tells us, Luke tells us, that she began to wash his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. She must have been shedding a lot of tears. And it says that when she was drying them with her hair, that she kissed his feet and anointed them with this oil that she brought. After she was doing that, the Pharisee who invited the Lord, you know, to his house, he began to say to himself, if he only knew what kind of woman she is. And Jesus knew. And Jesus responded to this Pharisee and he said, I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet. You gave me no oil for my head, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Then he says this, look at the screen. In Luke chapter 7, verse 47, it says, therefore I say to you, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. When you and I realize how much the Lord has forgiven us, we begin to cultivate a heart of joy, a heart of love. For who? For the Lord, and how much he has forgiven us. That's why this woman was at his feet. She was just crying and crying and crying. You know, I'm getting goosebumps. She was just crying because of how much the Lord has forgiven her. I pray we know how much the Lord has forgiven us. Because when we realize how much the Lord has forgiven us, we can love him that much more. Transgressions in verse 1 literally means crossing the line or rebelling against God in this case. This is a willful act. Have you ever seen no trespassing signs on fences and stuff like that? And I'm sure some of you probably did it. I know I've done it when I was younger. You know, I willingly trespassed. I didn't care what the sign said. I just willingly trespassed, you know. And David had crossed the line here. Not only he had broken the Ten Commandments with his sin with Bathsheba, you know, but he had crossed the line that the Lord has said, do not cross this line. Do not trespass. These things are forbidden, David. Sin obviously means missing the mark and not living to God's standards. We fail in God's standards every day. That's why we got to ask forgiveness every day. Amen. This was David's state, that David tried to cover up his sin, and it paints us a picture of what is happening to David while he is hiding this sin. David tried to cover this sin for almost a year. And in Psalm 51, it tells us what him covering his sin, what it did to him internally, physically, emotionally. But while he was hiding his sin, you know, he tried to paint a beautiful picture. Uriah is dead, which he had murdered. He's taken in Bathsheba, who everybody probably thinks she was pregnant from Uriah, but it's really from him. And he wants to look like a hero, right? But as Pastor Rob mentioned this Sunday, the Lord was seeing everything. We can't hide anything from the Lord. We can't conceal anything from the Lord. The Lord sees it all. One of the things that I have practiced and try to practice even more is capture my stinking thinking into captive. Remember Paul says, capture every thought into captivity, right? And what Paul is saying here is, you know, you're stinking thinking. Hey, stop it, grab it, start to pray. And the Lord's going to take it away. David didn't do that. The term transgression is forgiven in verse 1 really means to remove a burden. To remove a burden. This is what David was carrying on his shoulders, a burden. Why? He was trying to cover up his sin. Everybody thought he was this great king, great warrior, but the Lord knew what was in his heart, and the Lord was bringing conviction to him. His whole being, as we see in Psalm 51, you can read it on your own time, you know, and as we will see here as well, his whole being was affected by his sin. And he felt that way until he confessed that he had sinned before the Lord. Which brings me to our second point in verse 3 and 5. What sin does, the agony of sin and the liberation through confession. Look at verse 3 and 5 again. It says, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me, upon me. My vitality or my strength was turned into a drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to my Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. David here is finally freed, liberated. And in these verses, David describes how the sin he was hiding was affecting him personally. And David, I believe David you know, here is telling his own story in an honest way and honestly admits how foolish he had been to hide his sin for almost a whole year. And while he was hiding this sin for almost a whole year, it was eating him inside. It was eating him inside. You see, church, brothers and sisters, as God's children, we cannot sin and feel good about it. God will not allow us to sin successfully. Amen. When we sin, it's eating us inside. We feel terrible when we sin. Amen. And we feel terrible because that's the Lord. That's the Lord's Holy Spirit inside of us. Given, you know, bringing conviction in our hearts, really saying, confess your sin, restore your sin with the Lord so the Lord can continue to work with you. Hidden sin is a serpent. Hidden sin is a serpent, and covering sin makes the sting even more fiercely. It eats us up inside. The Lord caused David's misery, or caused David misery for almost a year. It made him miserable until he stopped lying. He humbled himself before the Lord and confessed his sin to the Lord. Look again how David felt. Look at verse 3 again. When I kept silent, my bones grew old. And what he's saying here is he's grieving inwardly. Perhaps he was even physically sick. Through my groaning all day long. Once again, this is caused by being grieved inwardly. He says day and night, he felt the Lord's hand heavily on him. There was conviction in his soul. David knew what he had done was wrong before the Lord. Also says his strength, his vitality was turned into drought. His sin was eating him inside that he had no more strength to go about his day. David's life at this moment had become a disaster inwardly because of his unconfessed sin. And this is what sin does to us, right? This is what unconfessed sin does to us. It eats us up inside until we come before the Lord and we just say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Until we acknowledge our sin before the Lord, until David acknowledged his sin before the Lord, then we can become free of this anguish, as verse 5 tells us. Look at verse 5 again. I acknowledge my sin to you. He's talking about his confession, or he's confessing his sin. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Oh, we serve a loving God. We serve a beautiful Lord. What does Proverbs 28:13 say? Says, he who covers his sins will not prosper. But he, or whoever, confesses and forsakes them, in other words, turning away from them, what does it say? Will have mercy. Don't you want to experience God's mercy in your life? In verse 5, David describes that he felt, how he felt when he had confessed his sin to God. David experienced forgiveness. David experienced deliverance, the chains, the bondage he was in were broken. He's freed. He's freed. That burden is no longer there. Because why? Because now he knows he's right with the Lord. He confessed his sin before the Lord. You know, when I was getting ready for this study, you know, one of the things that, you know, when we teach God's word, the Lord deals with us first, you know, because, you know, when me personally, when I come up here, I want to make sure I'm right with the Lord, right? I want to make sure that my heart is right with the Lord. And as I was preparing, you know, I was kind of examining my own heart, but at the same time, the Lord was telling me, you know what? There might be somebody in the audience. There might be somebody in the church that has a hidden sin. An unconfessed sin. Maybe someone in here is hiding a sin. Let me tell you, you will not be freed from your sin until you confess it to God, until you confess it to the Lord. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, the Lord sent a prophet to Nathan. And he sent this prophet Nathan to David to confront him with his sin. We all know the story. Nathan comes to David and he tells him a story about a rich man and a poor man. And this rich man had many flocks and this poor man had nothing except one little lamb. Well, this traveler comes and he visits the rich man who refused to take one from his own flock or a lamb from his own flock. So what does he do? He goes and he takes the poor man's lamb. At this point, David gets angry. And what does he say? This man should die. Nathan tells David, you are that man. You are that man. David responded with a confession, I have sinned against the Lord. And the Lord responded, I, the Lord, also have put away your sin. You shall not die. Seems simple, right? Seems very simple. Confess your sin and everything's going to be all right. But it's a little bit more than that. You and I have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You and I have to cooperate with God and really mean when we confess our sin. Turning around, leaving that sin behind, walking right with the Lord, walking uprightly before the Lord. So our heart will be aligned with the Lord's heart and we can be in God's perfect will. Amen. David, all he had to do was to confess his sin sincerely. And it says that the Lord forgave him. His transgression, his debt was canceled. The Lord didn't record David's sin. The Lord doesn't record our sin. The Lord doesn't record our sin. Every time we sin, when we forgive, he forgets him. He throws him away as far as is the east from the west. He no longer remembers them. Praise the Lord for his grace and his mercy. Amen. What does he do? Quite the contrary. He puts his righteousness, the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, in our place as we are accepted in the Lord. David offered no excuses. He admitted that he had sinned and was guilty before God. I've heard it say that divine conviction is to the conscience what pain is to the body. You know it's there, you feel it, and you know you have to do something about it. After David confesses sin, now God can work with him. Look at verse 6 and 9 again. Point number 3, God's protection and instruction. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you. Now, have you ever sinned and have you ever did something wrong that you know that it wasn't wrong? Oh, you know that it was wrong and it's time to pray or it's time to read the word and you just can't do it, right? I know sometimes when my wife and I, you know, argue, we've been together for 20 years and we still argue, right? And well, we have disagreements. We have disagreements. And you know, when we don't settle the disagreement right away, you know, we'll walk away. We'll let, you know, we want to cool down before we come back to each other, right? But, you know, when I want to pray, I can't pray. And the Lord's telling me like, you know what? You need to get right with your wife first. You know, that's what David is saying here. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you. In other words, we're right with the Lord. We're going to pray with the Lord. We're good, Lord. Let's communicate. Verse 6 again, it says, in a time when you may be found, surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with the songs of deliverance. Now in verse 8, the Lord speaks to David through David. The Lord says this, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. After David had confessed his sin to the Lord, David was freed. David was liberated. Those chains that held him in bondage were broken. And also with us, after we have confessed our sin with the Lord, God will help us. God will guide us. He will protect us. He will lead us. But once again, you and I need to be willing. You and I have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in order for God to work in us. Amen. And David might have known this already. I'm sure he already knew this. He was reminded of God's mercies again here. Remember what he wrote in Psalm 23, verse 3? I don't have it up on the screen, but he said, he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. That's what the Lord does when we're forgiven, when we confess our sin to him. He restores our soul. Brothers and sisters, God wants to guide us, not with a heavy rod, but with his eye, as David tells us here. You and I, the Christian, must constantly stay under the Father's eye and live to please him. This is what's going to get us through. In verse 9, David talks about two extremes. The horse that rushes ahead impulsively, and the mule that lags behind stubbornly. Have you ever seen somebody trying to pull a mule? You know, or trying to tame a horse? You know, you got to try to get them first, right? Christians should avoid these two patterns of behavior. Don't get ahead of the Lord. And don't fall back too far back of the Lord. We should walk with the Lord a step at a time in loving obedience. Loving on the Lord, him loving us. We feel his love. You know, horses and mules, you know, they have to be controlled by bits and bridles. That's what David is saying here. And some Christians, sometimes, maybe you are in here, and, you know, sometimes, you know, Christians must have bits and bridles before the Lord can control us as well. You know, that's what the Lord has in our mouth right now. Sometimes he needs to control us. But what the Lord wants to do, he wants to lead us and guide us through his precious eye. By this time, when David confesses sin, he sensed the Lord's protection again. He sensed his relationship restored with the Lord. Now, after confessing his sin, acknowledging his sin before the Lord, now God can work with David. Look at our fourth point in verse 10 and 11. The blessings of experiencing God's mercy. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. He's talking about, you know, he's considering himself righteous now. He's confessing sin. You know, now he's aligned with the Lord again. Be glad of the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. David has finally returned to being able to feel the blessings of God's mercies. And this brought David great joy from what these two verses tells us. This psalm gives the believer a reason to rejoice, to be glad. Are you glad that the Lord has forgiven your sins? I know I'm forgiven, you know, and I know I'm glad because sometimes I as I'm, you know, doing my devotions or I'm spending time in prayer in the morning, you know, I'm just reminded of how much the Lord has forgiven me, how much he has showered me with grace. You know, and I don't have time today, but, you know, if you knew my testimony, you know, my life as it is today, I mean, I couldn't have planned it even better. I mean, the Lord has been gracious. The Lord has been merciful. The Lord has forgiven me much. And because he has forgiven me much, I love him much. And that's my prayer for you, that you acknowledge how much he has forgiven you. And when you realize how much he has forgiven you, it's going to bring joy to your heart. You're going to be glad. You're going to sing for joy by how much the Lord has forgiven you. This psalm ends appropriately, I think, with a call of God's people to remember and respond to his mercies that surround us daily. We will close responding to the Lord for his forgiveness with a couple of songs as the worship team comes up. But before we begin to sing, you know, many of us here have a lot to be, to remember how much the Lord has forgiven us.